Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. But let's move on a little bit, I suppose. In opposed to the idea of false teachers laying in wait, in verse 15, we ought to be speaking the truth in love, and that we may grow up in him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Again, the focus is Jesus Christ, not some apostle on TV, not some idea, some lie, some Pied Piper's message that if you give, God's going to bless you or whatever. And there is blessing in the hundredfold return, because the guy that you're sending the money to gets a whole lot of return. Verse 16, "From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted, by which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love." You get the idea that these ministers that God gave to the church, they're to edify the church, to strengthen the church, to care for those that are struggling. Some people want to quit smoking. Some people want to quit smoking crack. Some people like to quit all this other stuff. Well, the pastor is the one that'll help you. And the saints will pray with you and would have you. There's help in the church. The guy's saying, "Send me $100. I don't care if you smoke or not. "This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord," in verse 17, "that you henceforth walk not as the Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness, to work all uncleanliness with greediness." We're to be not ignorant. We're to be taught. That's why there's the pastor and the teacher, to teach us, to help us to live for God. Again, there's the care of the church. Verse 20, "But you have not so learned Christ." Again, the idea of being taught. And you need to be taught, and not slack in being taught and learning. "If so be ye have heard of him, and have been taught of him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation a way of life, the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness, for we are members one of another." You know, that sounds just like 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, that if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. There's a new life. There's wonderful peace and joy and contentment and rest and satisfaction, and all the good things that you would like to have in life, they're found in Jesus Christ. And we're to be taught about those things. Almost to the end of the chapter. But let's go ahead and skip down to verse 31. "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And ye be kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you." I'm thinking of various parables where God forgave, and that was fine. The guy says, "I'm forgiven," but then he went off and didn't forgive the other guy and was called to account and says, "Well, you know, I guess you didn't really care for your forgiveness." But again, there's the care for the church. And the pastor and teacher, their job is to take time with the saints and to nurture and to go over things again and again if necessary until people get it. But the point is that Christians would learn how to live for God and be productive in their walk with Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I've been on the radio now for about 7 years. But the first thing that God told me to preach on, again, this was in January of 2007, he said to talk about false prophets. And, you know, everything that I've put on the radio, back everything that I've tried to preach in different churches, here or Brother Mays or wherever, if the recording was good enough, I'd put it on the radio. But he said to preach against false prophecy. Again, because he cares for the church. He wants to make sure that people are walking according to the Word of God. And he led me, I felt, to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 13, and 14. And as I began to read, I thought, well, this is the chapter about the gifts, chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians. I said, okay, well, I know what to teach. But I began to study it, and I saw the same thing we saw in Ephesians chapter 4, the care of God, the concern that God has for each and every Christian, even the one way in the back of the pew. So you would say that this chapter is about the gifts of the Spirit, and it does mention that, but it's really not. It's about the Holy Spirit working in the hearts of everyone, that they would follow the Lord and that they would be cared for. So let's take a stab at it, I suppose. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away under these dumb idols, even as you were led, which that's that phrase there. We hope that we're led of God's Spirit to do the things that are right, but sinners are led too by another spirit to do the things that are wrong. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed. And no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. One of the gifts of the Spirit is prophecy. And quite often, unfortunately, and even in Paul's time in this city of Corinth, they were all filled with the Spirit. They all spoke in tongues and had gifts of healing and all of that. That was fantastic, but there were people that weren't obeying the Word of God. They weren't sitting down to be taught correctly. They weren't interested in what they thought God said to them. Did it line up with Scripture? And sometimes, apparently, this is kind of crazy, I guess, but sometimes some of the prophecies in Corinth said that Jesus was accursed or damned. And I don't quite understand that, but Paul said that if God is speaking through someone, then they're not going to say that Jesus is accursed. They're not going to say something that's against the gospel. They're not going to say something that you would think would anybody else, they were inspired by the devil to say. If it's truly the Holy Spirit, they're going to lift up the name of Jesus. I spent some time a few years back going over 3 chapters in the book of John, chapter 14, 15, and 16. And again, everything that I've recorded is on my webpage. If I put it on the radio, I've also put it on the webpage. You can always go back and listen. And again, if I make some kind of stupid mistake or fall into error, everybody's going to know, well, look, you know, download this program and see, he said that, and well, that's wrong. Well, everybody's going to know. But I can refer back to things that I've said. But I spent some time talking about that. And those 3 chapters, Jesus is talking about the Holy Spirit and his operation, his goals, his methods, and his focus. The Holy Spirit's focus will always be to glorify Jesus Christ. And Paul is saying here that if the Holy Spirit is speaking through someone, then Jesus will always be glorified. There's not going to be a question if somebody's saying something that doesn't line up with Scripture or makes Jesus look bad or says something that refers to some false doctrine or something. Well, then if the person said that, they thought of it themselves, they've been watching too much TV, or maybe the devil spoke through them. Because the Holy Spirit will always line up 100% with the Word of God and will always glorify Jesus Christ as portrayed in the Bible. There's no question about it. And it's a test to know if someone is speaking from the Spirit, or, again, maybe they thought it up, got carried away, or maybe the devil's speaking through them. But he says in verse 4, now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are all these different gifts of the Spirit. They have different operations, but it's the Holy Spirit that gives them. There are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. There are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. If God gives some spiritual gift to someone in the pew, that's fine, but the church should benefit. For to one is given the Spirit of the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge, again by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But, in verse 11, all these worketh at one and self same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he wills. They're the gifts of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity. And again, Paul is saying in verse, 3 and 4, that he's holy. And whatever manifestation of the Spirit, whatever prophecy, whatever message in tongues, a word of wisdom, or anything like that, word of knowledge, it has to be holy. It has to be holy. It has to magnify the Lord Jesus Christ. It has to line up with the doctrines that we know and cherish in Orthodoxy. Verse 12, for as the body is one and hath many members, and all members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized in the one body, whether we are Jews or Gentiles, or bond or free, and have been made to drink into that one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. And again, I said in Ephesians chapter 4, we get the same idea here, that the gifts of the Spirit, they're to edify. And it's not just for one member, but it's for everyone. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? I got some crazy idea that thus and so. Well, no, you're a Christian. You belong with other Christians. And if the ear shall say, I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole body were hearing, where were the smelling? In other words, different gifts that are all important. You know, you need a nose, you need an ear, you need a couple of hands, what have you. And if you're going to function correctly in this life, you need your whole body to work. But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. He divides it to every man severally as he wills. It's not about what you want, it's about what God wants. If they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of thee. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. You can't say, well, that guy speaks in tongues, we don't want him in church, or that guy, whatever. Well, no, it's not about that. Because I'm a Christian, guy in the Baptist church is a Christian, guy in the Methodist church is, we're Christians. Can't say I don't like those guys, or they don't like me, or anything like that. And anyhow, it's not about denominations anyhow, it's about looking to Jesus Christ. It's not about sectarianism. It's not about there's us over here and you guys, it's that Jesus died for us all. And one day when we get to heaven, We're going to have forgotten what denomination we were from anyhow, because it don't matter. Nay, and look at this, I said the care of the church, nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. The guy that's sitting in the back pew, you know, he's probably the most important one in the whole church. He's probably the one that we need to care for more. The guy that's got his papers and he's starting to preach and whatever, and we have him preach every once in a while, well, he's apparently doing pretty good. Let's care for the one that's struggling. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the whole body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked. He said that the first are going to be last, the last are going to be first. The ones that are solid, the ones that know the word of God, the ones that are living right and have their heart right, again, that's fine. We need to go find the one that's going off and not worry about the 99 for a while. That there should be no schism in the body. No dissension, no split down the middle. It's not about that. But that the members should have the same care one for another. Whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or whether one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Suffer. You know, prosperity guys don't talk about suffering. Don't talk about affliction. Don't talk about having hard times. Their message is wrong. It doesn't line up with what the Bible says. Now, ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. In the last chapter we looked at, we had the fourfold or fivefold ministry, however you want to count it. But here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, last couple of verses here, in verse 28, and God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, so far that lines up, thirdly teachers. Wait, where's the evangelist? Where's the pastor? Goes right to teachers. After that, miracles. Wait, man, that's not a person. A miracle's not a person. What happened to the pastor? Then gifts of healing and helps and governments and diversities of tongues. Man, where's Paul going with this? I guess he forgot what he wrote over there in Ephesians. Maybe the way that we look at these lists, maybe we're not looking at them correctly. He is equating apostles. We know the 12 apostles. We know Matthew and what have you. We know these guys, James. He's equating the apostle with diversities of tongues. He's equating St. Paul, the guy that wrote half the New Testament, with speaking in tongues. Don't understand. What are helps? What are governments? How can he equate a ministry office with speaking in tongues? But he does it. The point here, and we just read it in verse 25, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And it's the Spirit that gives these gifts. The apostle is a great gift to the church. Again, look at the life of Paul. It is fantastic. That's where we get the new covenant from. The one that explained it was Paul. Yeah, fine. Jeremiah talked about it in chapter 31. We know all of that. But the guy that laid it out, the one that went to Peter and says, hey, you know, we got to have a little talk. You got this a little bit wrong, was Paul. And Paul is a great gift to the church. But the guy that has the ministry of helps, when they're going to have a dinner and somebody says, hey, you know, I want to help. You know, I can set the tables or whatever. Maybe I can sweep up afterwards. God is saying here that the man that sweeps up afterwards and takes out the trash is just as important as St. Paul. It's not about position and pride and, oh, look at me. It's not about any of that. It's about Jesus Christ, and can we care for the guy on the back pew that's struggling and can't quit smoking? That's what it's about. To me, that's amazing. To me, that just blows me away. And I said, when I first got back on the radio, like I said, in 2007, I got to this chapter and said, I know what I'm going to teach on. And God showed me real quick, nope, you don't understand it, do you? Thank God, I figured it out. The gifts of the Spirit, speaking in tongues and laying hands on the sick and they recover and all that stuff, is to care for the church. It's not to make the person that knows how to speak in Swahili look good. It's about that someone would be helped. That's what it's about. Are all apostles, or all prophets, or all teachers, or all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing, speak in tongues, interpret, what have you? No, answer to all of that, but covet earnestly the best gifts. Yet I'll show you a more excellent way. But what does this mean? But covet earnestly the best gifts. But he just equated apostles and speaking in tongues and said they're equivalent. And these are gifts. We read in Ephesians chapter 4 and earlier up in this chapter that it's the Spirit that gives these gifts to men. He gives the gift of the apostle. He gives the gift of tongues. And you're to covet earnestly the best gifts. Kind of think apostles the best gift. To me, this doesn't make any sense, but that's what he said. You can covet to be an apostle. It's the best gift, I guess. Or maybe you can covet to have the ministry of helps. Most people read this and say, well, I guess, you know, maybe the word of knowledge is the best gift. They only think about the nine that are mentioned. Well, let's get the one that's flashy, the best gift. The one that they look at me when I talk. Well, no. That's not what that verse means. Because again, he equates these demonstrations of the Spirit with apostles, prophets, and teachers. So, almost done, I suppose. I want to look at something that Paul said in Timothy. I want to look at 1 and 2 Timothy. Paul gives a list of things, a checklist maybe, that if, you know, you want to be a pastor, you know, this is pretty much how your life needs to be. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2, a bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach. I'm not reading the rest of it, but it mentions he has an aptitude or a willingness or a desire to teach. And that's what we talked about at the beginning. Matthew chapter 28, we're to teach and make disciples. This word bishop in Greek is episkopos. It's the same word as pastor. It's the same word as elder. If you find these words in the New Testament, it's the same word. So it could say a pastor must be blameless, etc. In this chapter, starting in verse 8, it does the same thing, gives a checklist for another office, deacon, which we haven't seen that in Ephesians chapter 4. We haven't seen that listed in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. But another office in the church, again, the local church, is deacon. Diakonos in Greek, it means servant or minister. And again, it gives a list of how the deacon's life ought to be. You got a guy that gambles on Friday night, he's probably not a good fit for deacon. But it says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 24, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, and this phrase, apt to teach, and patient and whatever. So it's the job of the local guys, the pastor and the teacher and the deacon, what have you, to teach, to take time to explain the gospel, to be patient. If we're children growing up and growing in the nurture of the faith and all of that stuff, we understand children, you got to change a diaper, wipe a nose, that kind of stuff. It's the pastor's job, kind of roll up his sleeves. He's the guy that does it on a local level. And the teacher, what have you. The deacon means servant. He assists the pastor And his grand title, his grand mission in his life is to serve. Not to say, look at me, but to say, hey, look at you. What can I do for you? Or to help the pastor or whatever. But apt to teach, but here's another one, to do the work of an evangelist. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, Paul gives a charge to Timothy. He says, preach the word. Reprove. To say, hey, you're wrong. Rebuke means to loudly say, hey, you're doing wrong. You need to stop. To exhort or to encourage, what have you, with all long suffering and doctrine. Again, doctrine means I'm teaching something. And again, with long suffering. Again, these guys in the local church, the pastor, deacon, teacher, elder, what have you, their job is to take their time and to care for the church, we just read in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. But he said, watch thou in all things, endure afflictions. Again, it's a word you will not hear one of the greed preachers ever say. Do the work of an evangelist. He's the pastor, but he needs to be about winning souls. Maybe they can do street ministry or something, but yeah, you can do all the busy work or whatever, the work in the trenches, in the pews, what have you, and at the altars, but you also need, pastor, to go outside the church and try to win souls, just like the evangelist does. Do the work of an evangelist and make full proof of thy ministry. You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. And you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Or if you like, you can write me at 324 Codifer Boulevard, number 9. That's Codifer Boulevard, number 9, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.